Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey, it's JD here, and we wanted to take a moment to thank you for tuning in to Discovering Downey. That said, it's time to take this relationship to the next level. Live, baby, live. Friday, July 19th, Long Slice Brewery presents a celebration of Gord Downey. Tickets are now on sale at discoveringdowney.com. Come for the finale of Discovering Downey with special guest Patrick Downey and stay for the hip tribute act, The Almost Hip, and our fantastic silent auction. All proceeds from this project will go to the Gord Downey Fund for Brain Cancer Research. So come out to the show, because seeing is believing, and you won't believe what we've got in store for you until you see it yourself. Get your tickets today.
The goalie who lives across the street. Jean Beliveau is welcome anytime at the outdoor rink in the park just across from my house for morning hockey under blue skies this winter. Birds wheeling overhead, rushing temperatures, lousy to no gear. I'm the goalie who lives across the street. Kids play with smokes hanging out of their mouths, beautiful puck hogs with incredible tricks. They are so easily fatigued they take a break after every rush. Old timers heckle, "Hey, Jim Carroll, pass the puck." They don't get it. No literary pretensions allowed. 2 minutes for "I saw his blood, a billowing crimson cloud against the milk-white ice." That's an infraction here. When the predatory follow the puck down to the other end, my net swarms like the Great Barrier Reef with the smaller fish. My crease fills with good questions and wobbly wrist shots. There are no bad questions, only bad wrist shots. And then there are the parents, always yelling, always telling them where to aim. At the rink across the street, Jerry Cheevers is welcome anytime.
Welcome, music lovers. Long Slice Brewery presents Discovering Downey.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to Discovering Downey, an 11-part project with a focus on the music and poetry of Mr. Gord Downey. The late frontman of the Tragically Hip gave to the world an extensive solo discography on top of the Hip's vocal acrobatics that awed us for years. So far, he's released 8 records in total, 3 of them posthumously. Now listen, you might be the biggest fan of the Hip out there, but have you really listened to these solo records? Because I'm an inquisitive podcaster, I enlisted my friends Craig, Justin, and Kirk, giant fans in their own right, to discover Downey with me, JD, as their host. Every week we get together and listen to one of Gord's records, working in chronological order. We discuss and dissect the album, the production, the lyrics, and we break it down song by song. This week we're going to be talking about Gord's 5th record, his last release before his death in October of 2017. This is a sobering, thoughtful, and potentially triggering album called Secret Path. Justin St. Louis, how goes?
Things are busy, but things are good. And this is the thing that I look forward to the most out of my many, many things that I have going on. Racing all the time and kid stuff all the time and soccer is in full swing and everything is fun. But this is the thing that I can kind of crack a beer and relax and hang out with you dudes and just enjoy what we're doing.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you're enjoying this. Me too. Kirk Ficino, are you ready to get going on this one?
I am ready.
It's a big one, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, there's that nervous anticipation, I think, is a good way to describe it. This, of all we've been through, that has been obviously just amazing and overwhelming, as you mentioned. Like, how did we not dive into this before, you know, especially with our love of the hip? But then this comes along, and just when you think you got your head wrapped around it, it just goes to a whole nother level. And again, just something peeling back those layers and just finding out more about what an incredible individual that we had the chance to be on Earth with at the same time. And obviously, as much as we miss him.
And we do miss him so much. Fuck. Craig, what's news?
Oh, not too much. Same as Justin. I've got a lot going on with, you know, my son in baseball, my daughter in soccer, the band, work, which, you know, is mostly good, but can be tough this time of year. Looking forward to digging into this album. This is the one album I said coming into this project that I actually do have experience with. So I've been listening to this since it came out. And so a bit of a different experience this week for me.
Yeah, I suspect we're going to be leaning on some of your learnings over the years as we dive into the music. So that'll be interesting to compare and contrast what we've got from the record or what the other fellows have got from the record and compare and contrast it to what you've learned over the years.
Yeah.
I could tell you that after years of waiting for some kind of concept record from Gord or the Tragically Hip, we finally get that on Gord's fifth and final record released during his lifetime. After being moved by a late 1960s article from Maclean's magazine, he began to honor the legacy of its subject matter, the young indigenous child named Chenny Wenjack. Secret Path was released as part of a multimedia experience, including a book, animated video, and of course, the standout 10-track album. To call this album chilling is an understatement. There is no happy ending for our protagonists, and Gord's voice reflects that throughout the 41-minute runtime of this album. The sparse production and instrumentation underscores the haunting lyrics and melodies Gord has conjured on this release. Don't fall into the trap of thinking you must listen to this record from start to finish to really get it. There are plenty of songs for song's sake on this release, and they can certainly be enjoyed without the context of the entire record. But clearly the record is designed to be listened to front to back, ultimately. Produced by Kevin Drew over a couple sessions years apart, the record dropped in the midst of Gord's battle with cancer, but that didn't stop him from making certain everybody knew the importance of Chenny's story. This is an important record as a music fan and as a Canadian. Understanding our past is key to informing our future, and Gord and his cohorts outdid themselves on this effort. And it is a must listen to unlocking the legacy work in Gord's memory. Kirk, talk to me about your first experience with Secret Path.
Well, as extensive as Craig, this is the only actual Gord Downie album that I listened to once through maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, after I read the book and mentioned, you know, parts of it, not the actual graphic novel, but the Tragically Hip book where they have discussions about, you know, some of his solo stuff. So, you know, I had gone through the songs once before, but what I typically like to do when I'm doing the first listen is go for a walk. And so I'm listening to it while I'm, you know, walking the dog and have my headsets in and usually at night, so it's quiet outside of, you know, the birds and whatever other sounds are going around. And, you know, it like we'd all kind of mentioned, this is a heavy, 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 heavy album and heavy songs. And as that journey progressed and I would listen to the actual vinyl and watch some stuff online and listen in my vehicle and obviously, I think of all the albums, this one, it really just drives you to do the research and to really listen and to really understand what it's all about. And probably, I don't know, like 20 something listens in and I finally watched the actual cartoon. And then I got the book around the same time and it changed everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it had already made an incredible impact on me. And then I got the, you know, finally got the graphic novel in, and I watched the 45 minute or so cartoon or film of it. You then see what is being written about.
Yeah.
And you see it in such a dramatic fashion. And honestly, gentlemen, it emphasized and changed a lot of the meaning of the songs that I had already listened to 20 times and had an opinion on and had done some research and read the lyrics, but I hadn't seen it. And that novel and then watching the film, I mean, to be bold is life-changing. You can love it and enjoy it and it can uplift you, but I think that the topic and the subject matter deserves reverence. And so it has mine.
Craig, you have a lot of history with this record, but I'm wondering if you can think back to the first time you heard it. What was your experience like then?
That's tough. It's for me, the animation and the songs have always gone hand in hand. I'm not sure I've mentioned this before, but I teach, you know, grade 7 students, and this is something I have used in my class every year since it's come out. I'll talk more about that a little bit later. So to me, they've always been tied together, and every year for me, it's like peeling back another layer, and it's just been amazing over the years to share it with so many kids and hearing different perspectives and different things I hadn't thought about, sharing, you know, my ideas with them. And it's always a highlight of the year, you know, of course, in a, you know, very serious topic, and you know, they get the heaviness of it, and I think that's the beauty of using art to educate about topics like this. Of course, you shouldn't just use this, but as a supplement to your teaching, it's really powerful, and yeah, they really do enjoy it for the most part.
Justin, what are your initial thoughts of the record?
I feel guilty that there's still a huge group of people that celebrate and get angry about the fact that others are trying to change the way that we are educated here, that, you know, that Columbus Day is a thing in the States, and that Indigenous Peoples Day hasn't been adopted universally. You know, there's a strong contingent of Abnaki and Mohawk in this area, and I do know, you know, people that are affiliated with those tribes and those groups. And I just kind of want to say I'm sorry all the time. Like this album and the novel and the video, exceptionally moving. Kirk said, I can't be happy when I'm listening to it. I really think some of the songs musically are phenomenal and I want to dance to them. But I also am like, don't dance to this. <You know? laughs> What are you doing? Yeah, I really love, and I mean that word, I love this album and this project.
If I can say one more thing too.
Yeah,
jump in. Coming into this whole journey with you guys, this was my reference point. And I knew how amazing this album was. And I honestly was terrified to dig into Coke Machine Glow and all these other albums and just be disappointed. And so I've been super happy that all those albums were so great, knowing that this masterpiece was coming up. Like, and I don't use that word lightly. This might be the best thing Gord ever made. Mm-hmm. And you guys know how much I love The Hip and how much I love, you know, Battle of the Nudes. But like you said, Justin, it's very somber and it's a whole different beast.
I want to also say this as kind of a disclaimer that I don't want to give the impression that I know what I'm talking about on this episode, because I don't. I have my research about this is only surface level. Kirk and I don't know if I can speak for you, but I think we've talked about this, that we don't really have a deep enough understanding of what this album represents. And, you know, I do want to lean on you, Craig, and you, JD, as you guys would know, you know, intimately more about the subject. And I have really enjoyed learning, and I have deep dove into several podcasts, and I would absolutely recommend, if I can get it out there now, there's a guy named Chris Waite, who has an Anishinaabe podcast, which is fantastic. And I listened to 5 or 6 hours of it so far. And I've read things and I've listened to other podcasts. And some of it is the same regurgitated thing that I think they probably just read off Wikipedia or something. But there are some that really do a great job. And Kirk, you said it again, this is life-changing. And I actually care about this. You know, I've already forgotten half the songs on all the other albums that we've listened to, but I won't with this one.
Yeah, obviously he had a tremendous platform, and this was something that became very important to him in his later years. But it's interesting that, you know, work was started on this record in 2012.
Yeah, that part to me, JD, was starting the recording in 2012 and 2013 and then not releasing till 2016, correct? Right.
Like, yeah, he was waiting for the 50-year anniversary of Cheney's passing. So that was a date, I believe, that was always there. I'm going to use this opportunity to do my own disclaimer. And that is to just say that not all people would agree that this is Gord's story to tell. I just want to acknowledge that that is a valid opinion to have.
Totally.
And so if you're listening and you're thinking this is, you know, not his story to tell, I totally get what you're saying.
Excellent point, Craig. That's something that we need to be very careful around. So if you are listening to this and this is something that can be triggering, whether it's the subject matter or the people telling the story or the people interpreting the telling of that story, if this is something that is going to make you squeamish or uncomfortable or trigger something in you deeper than that, please turn off the podcast now. We'll be here when you're ready. This isn't going away. Let's get to the first track, though, fellas. This is an absolutely haunting song. It's called The Stranger.
Is not my dad. My dad is not a wild man. Doesn't even drink. My daddy's not a wild man. On a secret path, the one that nobody. On the path nobody knows.
Take it away.
Yeah, so right away the tone is set with the soundscape, the introduction, you know, probably 30 seconds before the guitar comes in. And when it comes in, it's unmistakably Gord playing that guitar, and you know, it's something it feels very much like something he would write. And it has an odd feel to it. It's really hard to sing along to, and the phrasing makes it really unique. He sometimes starts the right on beat one, and sometimes there's this little pickup, and makes it a little disorienting at first, but it gets into a more sort of repetitive style afterwards. But the heartbeat in the drums, really haunting piano, just sets the tone perfectly. The lyrics, again, they're just setting up the story. I really enjoy the contrast. You've got the playful, you know, the boy walking down the railroad tracks. He's jumping to the right, he's jumping to the left. And this is something that'll come back a little bit later too, as this, you know, basically the whole story is set. Present time of the story is him walking down the track until he, you know, passes. The line, "And what I'm feeling is anyone's guess. What is in my head and what is in my chest?" To me, that might be Gord's way of almost saying this is like an artistic telling of this story. Like, this isn't meant to be a literal, this isn't an encyclopedia entry about Chaney.
I felt that same thing, Craig. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much centered in emotion, and because, you know, there is no way of knowing what he was really going through. So Gord is just tapping into all these human emotions that one could imagine you would go through. So, and that is one of the critiques of this album that I've read, is that, you know, it's not 100% factual. Well, I really don't think that's the point. This is a much larger story than, this isn't about one boy. I mean, it is, but it's also about Canada. It's about everything. And a couple of other, you know, quick things. So the memories, if you're looking at the animation and the graphic novel, this first song starts with memories. And the main thing you'll notice right away is you got the cold colors, the blues, in the, you know, the residential school memories and walking along the track too, in contrast with when he's talking about his family. So he talks about his dad. "Dad is not my dad. My dad is not a wild man." So the goal of the government was to assimilate Indigenous peoples who were quote unquote uncivilized. It actually shows the opposite. It shows that his memories of his family are of love.
Oh man. Yeah. Kirk, what do you think? Take us there, brother.
Throughout all of these songs, and what's laid as a foundation for us with The Stranger, is there's always hope. The hauntingness of this song sets the tone. Like you mentioned, Craig, the coloring is, as I said earlier, when I saw it, when I read it and I saw it, it changed the meaning for things. But that to me is I try to be an optimist. I loved the color. I don't know that I would have survived if there was no color in this, because that there needed to be that light and that the vision of those families and in the colors that they were to have any sort of pathway out of this.
And also just showing that he had a very rich life. It shows him learning how to make a fire, how to fish, all these cultural teachings that were valuable. So anyways, I just wanted to mention one other thing. Another great visual in the graphic novel is the raven feather falling and transitioning into the hair. So upon arrival to the residential school, Chani's remembering his first day when they're being, showered and, probably scrubbed with harsh chemicals, which there are many, many stories of this happening, and the hair being cut. That's very symbolic. Like there's the long hair, in males in many indigenous cultures is sacred. It's often cut only for special reason. Maybe if a family member passes or something, the long hair is very closely tied to their identity a lot of time from what I've heard and read. So this was, just very cruel behavior and humiliating.
Yeah. Let's go to the second track on this record. It is called Swing Set. Who's up first?
So Swing Set, that's kind of the one where Chani is like on the cusp of now. And it's literally in the lyrics, now, not yet. Now, not yet. I didn't know this till researching, like everything in this. I didn't realize that he was one of seven. I think I read 9 kids that took off that day, and he was one of 3 in a group. Somewhere I read that there were 9 children that left that same day, and they waited until one kid was being dragged literally back into the school to make their escape off the swing set. I mean, they were watching, like, knowing this is going to happen. And the video is incredible. To go with the music, they're like, they make a distraction and twist one kid up in the swings. And I don't honestly remember if it was Chani or one of the others, but to make the teachers think, we're playing, right? And we don't have this other plan. Yeah, the now, not yet through the whole song is really cool. And by the way, the tune is awesome. Like
that,
this is,
that's what I was going to mention, Justin, is the music is the emotion.
Yeah.
Like it's that fleeting, like, it's very upbeat. I mean, that was one thing that hit me when I first heard it, was like, now I did not expect music like this,
right,
in the context of the overall package.
Yeah.
Now to me, and I know it isn't Kevin Hearn, and I've talked before about how I enjoy the stuff that he does with Bare Naked Ladies, and I know he's done a little bit with Gord and is on a track here, so I immediately thought it was Kevin Hearn because that's very much his type of and style. So I had made the assumption that was it and it isn't, but I love that it had that same feeling, and it's the music itself is almost chaotic. It's upbeat and chaotic, which is the emotions. I mean, come on guys, we've all had that moment where you're going to do something stupid and you're going to do it and it's probably not the best thing to do, but the emotions you have inside, you could, the goosebumps and the. And to me, the music really, I think, encapsulated that feeling phenomenally. And how crazy, like that's the springboard swing set. This is where the plan was gonna.
It's literal and metaphorical.
Yeah.
That first, I guess, longer verse is the turning round and round in my seat, and the chains are tight over my head, and until the tension is complete, right? Like, whoa, how cool of a double meaning. Honestly, that's one of Gord's best set of lines in anything really that he's written, like, because it's literally on a swing and they're twisting the kid around, and then also this is the fulcrum of my life, right? And here's the tension and there's no way out of it. It's go now, not now.
And cool. And later on when he looks back and the image of it is his just seeing the swing twisting in the sun is great. The other thing I wanted to mention about this song, I love how the there's the breath in the background. It's almost like that either excitement or even you know when you're running and you're breathing heavily, and there's kind of that breathy sound in the background, almost like background sort of vocals. And one thing in the art is that some of the frames are showing sort of like them praying in the school. And so
the various memories in between the swinging is what I was just looking at, because I have the graphic novel next to me. But yeah, Craig, that's a great
point. Right. So this like forced religion upon them. So these schools were funded by the government, but they were typically run by church groups. So,
and if I read correctly, that this was the Cecilia Jeffrey School, right? And this was run by a women's organization connected to a church. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. But all of the images are of men, or so it seems.
I know. Yeah. That. And I believe that was one of the critiques that I read online, which I really don't think it matters in what Gord was trying to communicate here. I mean, again, like I said at the start, this is all about the emotion and getting an idea across that is really not just about one kid. It's just about the whole system. And
yeah. Yeah. There, when I got the book before I saw the video, I wanted to kind of do it in stages, listen to the music first and then read the book and then do the video. And the images of when Channy's in bed and the, I don't know what you want to call it, the clergyman or the teacher or the schoolmarm or whoever it is walking kind of through the bunk at night, took on a whole different meaning for me later in this album.
Yes.
And I didn't realize what I didn't know until about three or four songs later. It's creepy in this one when you're reading the book and looking through it. It's, you know, like, all right, man, it's nighttime. Like, leave me alone. Right.
Yeah.
But it looks more like an intimidation thing.
Totally.
Than what it turns out to be.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. And let's see how it plays out in the next chapter of this story. Maybe my favorite song on the record. I don't have to do an MVP pick, so I can reveal it to you early. But Seven Matches. Kirk?
I think it ended up just being a group of three that made it past a certain moment, and they went to a relative's house, or it could have been parents and two of them. And then Channy was, you know, not part of that. And so he needed to move on and is given this jar with the seven matches. And the song itself, you know, from a musical standpoint is very soothing. And it's I love that style of vocalization that Gord uses in the speak singing, I guess is a good way to describe it. It's so deceiving, right? Because it does make you feel it, like when I listen to it the first couple of times, and even now, like it gives me a sense of warmth. It gives me a sense of security. And this you know, this mother said, here, these are your seven matches. And then the emphasis that's put on that, like, it to me, it really broke down to, like, this is your life. Your life is now in a jar, and it's seven matches. And then with each phrase, it's six, it's five, it's four. And he has to use them or he freezes. Yeah. So as we've mentioned, the whole theme, this warm song that does give you comfort is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is, because it starts out so hopeful, right? And it sounds like you can hear a spring in his step, you know, and he's got this chick of the matches, and it's like a little rhythm going down the train tracks. And, you know, he talks about how, I know she didn't mean to hurt my feelings, but that's what she did. Like, I know how to build a fire, right? Like, give me a break, you know, but then you're down to two matches, you know, and you're, uh-oh. Like it really gets heavy at the end.
Yeah. I also wonder if that line you just mentioned is, it could be her saying, you know, you need to give yourself up and go back to the school. And I almost wondered if that was another meaning of that. Like she didn't.
Yeah.
You know, she hurt my feelings.
That's insightful. Yeah.
It certainly could be. I took it as the way that I did, because he mentions the memory of her smile. Like, right. Here you go, buddy. This will help you. Good luck.
Yeah.
That's just my interpretation.
Yeah. You know, and I think there are layers like any song of Gord's. And I just wanted to mention too, the almost like childlike quality of these first few songs. like in the way that Gord's singing, almost like a naivety to his voice. And not only that, you mentioned the 7-6-5-4. That's like a very common thing to do in children's music. And so I wondered if that was intentional to a lot of the melodies in these first few songs are quite, yeah, just like simple melodies that almost sound like you could picture a kid singing them.
Yeah, I didn't think of it, but you're right. Wow. I just want to mention that this is the song that I think I had, I want to say familiarity because it was like three or four notes, but the Peter Mansbridge interview with Gord.
Yeah.
They were kind of in the studio, Gord and the guys, and they played this song and it was just maybe one line and I don't remember, but I remember the tune. This was the one that stuck with me entering this project.
I want to point out, because again, as I mentioned, I have the graphic novel next to me on a music stand, you know, as points of reference. But the heartbreaking frame from the middle of the page where the family, very stoic, the mom is, again, as you mentioned, you know, showing them how to use the match. And you could see the despair in their face. You can see the absolute despair because they know this is only going to end two ways. He's going to get caught and go back, or the eventuality of what happens. But then the next photo, the smile, you know, the last smile. I mean, when you think about it, this is the last actual act of love that he experiences before he passes, like a real act of love from another human being. And then the chick, chick, chick is he's shaking the matches and part of the song. So that's all I wanted to mention.
I actually did think that that little grin on his face, not only was it feeling nice about what that family did for him, but also like, now I've got an ace in the hole, like a little bit mischievous. Like I have a backup plan now. Like he's pulled one over on something, you know?
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We'll be right back.
Chorus in here, I will not be struck, I'm not going back. Visually, it ties into the shots of Chaney in school being taught English and you know, struggling. A lot of survivors reported being hit when they were speaking their own language. And so they were forced to learn English and were forbidden to speak their own languages. And, you know, to this day, there are many, thankfully, many indigenous languages, but often not a lot of people speaking them. So I think, you know, from what I've heard, that it's definitely on the upswing. And I know there's people around where I live teaching languages, teaching traditional languages to kids and even in the schools.
Yeah. I thought the word struck, like you said, is super deep. Struck meaning literally hit by one of the teachers. And I also struck, like, I will not be struck by emotion. No, by emotion and turning back. And yes, the match, absolutely. But also, he's literally walking down train tracks. I won't be struck by a train. And he says, I'm going to put my ear against the rail. And what I can't hear, I can feel, which is, again, what I can't hear, I can feel is a way to think about him struggling with the language. And you see him squinting at the map like, I don't know what this means. And in the video, at one point, they scramble the letters on the map because it's meaningless, you know?
Yeah.
And he throws the map in the fire. He's like, oh, I can't read it, so I might as well just burn it. It makes no difference to me. You know, if they didn't understand the language, they got hit. So if what I don't hear, I will feel.
And I really love the, again, you go back to the father. I see my father's face warming his feet by the stove. We used to have each other. Now we only have ourselves.
Yeah.
And there's that warmth, like in the visuals, but also in the music. This song too has a very, if you were to just hear this song without the context, without thinking too much about the lyrics, it starts off very melodic. You've got just that acoustic guitar, and then the vocal melody is very, 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 sweet. And the drums come in. And what I love about the drums is that you've got this rock beat, the kick and snare are just locked in so tight, but then the hi-hat gives it a bit of chaos. And there's just so much feeling in that hi-hat playing. And I'm thinking maybe they, in the mix, it might move around a little bit, but it really, the contrast between the tightness of the kick and snare and the hats really gives it a great feel. And then the bass comes in with this nice melodic line. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is the bass starts playing on the offbeats And it gives this sort of like ominous feel, like something is coming.
Right.
And then also there's that guitar, the electric guitar is maybe my favorite part of the song. There's this, it's just sort of repeating the vocal melody.
Yeah.
But there's this, some open strings in there, and it's almost like a little bit out of tune or something, or an effect that makes it just sound a bit uneasy.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to explain that, but I get exactly what you're saying. Kirk, what do you think, buddy?
I do love the overall usage, the hip as well, with the open tunings. That's something, as you know, Craig, playing in what you do and having to have a few guitars ready to go with open tuning, there is definitely an overall presence that it brings to the music. And if you don't mind, I'm going to jump into Sun, the next song. Speaking of an ominous feeling and thought, and they show it in the graphic and obviously in the movie, the cartoon, the vision of his father. And then this song, you know, it's when I'm on your shoulder. In my research, one of the things I found was I was a school in Canada that was I'm assuming it was the teacher was playing the guitar and singing this, and there was interpretive dance going on to it, and it was just extremely powerful, extremely powerful. I mean, you guys know I lost my pops a year ago. The memories and being a father. And the memories of that bond, what Cheney's going through, and as we, you know, are in this journey and not knowing what's going to come, there's a dark expectation, but you always hope that there's going to be something positive out of it. I think this song really, really sets up that whatever happens with this journey, you know, his family's there, his tribe's there, his dad's there.
So I have a son from a previous relationship. He'll be 18 this year. And I haven't talked to him in 8 years. And not by my choice. That's just the way things are. This song hits me like a ton of bricks every single time I hear it. And I would like for him to hear it. Yeah. He's Channy and I'm Dad, and not quite the same thing, but it's real close.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous song, and it's the most hopeful part of this album, as far as I'm concerned. You know, this is the driver for Channy to get home, you know, and he's got 600 kilometers ahead of him. Yeah, there's Dad. That's the finish line.
Yeah. I get, you know, feelings from the, like, there's many emotional spots on this album, but this is definitely one that hits hard, you know, being a father and a son, and just, you know, that message of, you know, I'll, whatever happens, I'll be with you. And, you know, again, the warmth of his father, the fire is reminding him of his father.
The image and the fire.
The warmth of his, and also I think, you know, the use of the word dance, you know, like when you dance, I'll be on your shoulder, you know, thinking of how important dance was or is in Indigenous culture. And, you know, again, another thing that they wouldn't have been allowed to practice. You know, I think that there's another layer of this. And I love the line at the end, even as the world convulses. And then at that moment, there's this bass convulsion. There's that big, deep noise.
Yep.
And, you know, don't stop wishing what you wish.
Yeah.
Just such a great message. And I know that's a part that hits me pretty heavy. And especially that last chorus when that high harmony comes in, just so emotional. And yeah, really great song.
I'm thankful for this song. You know, with my experience, I need reminders. And this is a good one.
Right.
Yeah, I really love the song a lot. Yeah. So,
Secret Path.
And if the last one, you know, if Sun is the most hopeful, this is where it turns.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And it's immediate. Freezing rain. And there's never been a colder rain than the one I'm in. And that is, you know, literally and symbolic, you know, it is pouring on this kid, and the snow is building up, and it's so nasty. And we, you know, I don't know if you get snow down in Chino, here, but we get snow.
We do at our local mountains, where my mother-in-law lives in Wrightwood and in Big Bear. And because I travel a lot, I get into a lot of snow. Yeah. So I've been into some below zero temperatures, and I that's why I live in Southern California, gentlemen.
I know
like visiting the snow. I don't like living in it.
Yeah, I know the ice pellets he's talking about, you know. Yeah. And it's, you go out to walk the dog and your feet come in soaked, and you're only out there for 2 minutes, you know. The dog's got to poop and you just, all right, do it, come on. And you come in and you're cold and it sucks, and it's to the skin, it's to the bone. And in this instance, it's piled up so high that he can't even walk on the tracks. They're sticking, you know, the snow and the ice pellets are sticking to the tracks, so he can't tightrope them. He can't get his feet off of the wooden, whatever they're called, planks between the tracks, because there's snow and ice built up on the tracks too. So he is screwed every way possible, and there's no way out of it. And this is the secret path. Like, this is what I have to do.
During the secret path, the thought process, right? Because he's essentially entering a delirium, right? All you have is your thoughts at this point. And so the focus then becomes, it's a windbreaker. It's not a jacket. It's a windbreaker. Where's my jean jacket? That jean, and if you've ever worn a jean jacket before, you feel it and it provides warmth. But windbreakers don't provide warmth. They're what they are. And that delirium leads into those lines that are haunting, absolutely haunting, as he's navigating all the elements that you had mentioned, Justin. And it's like you said, the song just takes such a turn, and then it takes a deeper turn and a deeper turn and a deeper turn. And and then it hits the chord. And I'm sure you guys have heard it.
Yep.
But that chord, the first time I listened to it after the, you know, years ago when I just did a kind of a, I don't even know if I listened to the whole thing. I think I just kind of hit the first of each song, right? I didn't listen to the album, like listen to it. But this time when I listened to it, I heard that chord, and that chord is death. That chord is now hope's gone. Now it's just whatever happens. He continues, of course, but that chord is there's no secret path.
That's exactly it. It's the turning point right there. It's hope is gone. And I know the exact moment you mean. And I love that line too, that you mentioned about the icy rails that he can't even tightrope. You imagine him earlier in the day, maybe, you know, kind of like playing these childish games, like in the first song, he mentions jumping from the left to the right. And now it's like that loss of innocence, right? Like there's no way out now. And the jean jacket thing, my take on this is that there's actually a famous story about a woman named Phyllis Webstad. So she started something called Orange Shirt Day. Have you heard of this down there?
Yes. Yep.
Or maybe
I've seen it. Yeah.
I have not.
Okay. Yep. So September 30th for a number of years now has been, in BC anyways, has been Orange Shirt Day. And so this woman, Phyllis, is from around here. She actually went to the school that would be closest to where I live, and she, you know, was taken away to residential school, and she was given or bought this brand new orange shirt to take to school. And when she got there, you know, they took it away from her, and she never saw it again. And she just couldn't understand, as a, you know, young girl, why they stole it from her. And so, you know, she talked about, you know, to this day, the color orange reminds her of this and those feelings of, you know, feeling worthless. And so September 30th now in Canada is a new statutory holiday, as of a couple of years ago, it's the National Day of, National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, it's called. Mm-hmm. And, so that is what it reminded me of, this, you know, his jean jacket's taken away, and, you know, they give him this windbreaker that doesn't even do what it's supposed to do. You know, they're liars, right? Like they call this a windbreaker. It doesn't do what they said it would do.
There's one part in one of the choruses.
I know what you're going to say.
Where he says it's, and then they call it a windbreaker. Gord is, and I don't know if that's intentional or not, but it feels like
Channy's like incredulous, like, what is this? Is it a windbreaker or not? Like, why are you selling this if it's not? Because Channy had, from what I understand, a pretty good understanding of wordplay, whether he could read or not in English. He picked up on double meanings of words or a twist of phrase or something like this that, you know, could mean a couple of different things and be funny even. Well, this is literally, this jacket is not breaking the wind from me. Like,
yeah.
Why?
yeah, this is a tough song. It also happens to be a great song. And again, take away the meaning, and it's a very just rocking song.
Yeah.
I love the way you've got that really quiet intro, and then it just hits you over the top of the head with that "don't," and yeah, really just smacks you in the face. And it is so powerful. I mentioned I'm a teacher, and when I play this for the first time and I crank the speaker up to see, you know, the shock.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, very obviously a reference to abuse, to, you know, sexual abuse, physical abuse. I spent a little bit of time in the last few weeks going through the Truth and Reconciliation document, which is basically the documented truth of survivors and their families and anyone who is affected by residential schools. And the University of Manitoba keeps these records, and they're free to look at. You know, if you too many stories to count, it's just horrifying. And yeah, real, I think the part that gets me in this song is, it's not even in the lyric booklet, I don't think, but the little whispers, how.
Yes. And, yes.
Yeah. That so powerful, you know, how.
Yeah. When I heard the song first, before I saw the illustrations and before I saw the video, I thought that this was Channy saying, "Don't let this change who you are," not knowing that it was about sexual abuse, not even considering that that was a thing. And I thought that this was, "Don't let their, you know, that's in the law to kill the Indian," right? That's the phrasing that's in the rules or the laws or whatever the credo was that was written up in the 1800s when this started, kill the Indian in the child. And don't let them do this to you. Don't let them take your culture away from you, your origin from you.
I had a very similar take and belief on it, Justin, exactly what you described. Yeah, right after that, you have the, you know, I heard them in the dark, heard the things they do. Yeah. I heard the heavy whispers, you know, whispered, just don't let them touch you.
And that's touch you. That's the part in the video where I was like, oh, now I get it.
They make it quite obvious at that point. Like, if you haven't gotten it by that point, there's a frame there that
it's heartbreaking. It's same thing as I mentioned earlier. Like, I had an understanding of what the lyrics meant or the songs were, and then I got the graphic novel and I went through it, and I'd stop. I literally had to close it and walk away for a bit and gather myself and just, you know how something horrible is going on and you go, how can it be any worse? And then the worst,
it gets
reveals
worse.
Itself.
Yeah. In the book, the last frames before the next song are a hand in the dark. And then the very last frame is a hand in the sky over, literally and figuratively, over Channy's head as he walks down the tracks. And it's like, this is never going to go away. It's something he would have, if he lived to 90 years old, it's still there.
Well, and you know, we talked about how Secret Path was that transition, right? And there was smiles and there was glimmers of hope. And then when it turns, when that desperation hits in, there's no secret path. Like, all that, he had been suppressing that, you know, that's victims of abuse. That's a survival technique, is to just suppress it. And it released it. And so now all the darkness is just so prevalent and heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's hard to hold my tongue. And this stuff makes me angry. And rightly so. But we're going to turn the page right now. And we're going to go to the next track, which is the eighth track on the record, Haunt Them, Haunt Them, Haunt Them. Justin?
I think I'm in despair. Okay, then you can end the song right there. Like, that's it. I don't know if I have cried actively, but this is the one that I was like, okay, all right. I'm ready for this to be over with, because I don't know if I can handle it. And the raven and can't wait to eat your eyes. You know, like, God, that raven is just like sitting on the branch, licking his lips, like, let's go. I've got a way out for you, man. And it's going to be through my stomach, you know, cause you're going to die and I can't wait. You're my next meal. And, you know, and he's got to, Channy has to try and keep walking and keep breathing. And, you know, the theme throughout the thing is I'm just going to close my eyes. I'm just going to catch my breath. I'm going to get up and keep going. And he's at the point where he knows if I try that I'm not getting up. My pale last days and all of my memories are just memories of memories. Like he can't think of being there with his father or his family at home. He can only think of laying in bed at the school, thinking about his father at home. Like he's out of body. He's delirious. He is beyond rational thinking, I think.
And the drum beat is, you know, we've all been in a situation where we're truly exhausted and your heart just feels like it's, you know, 20 times bigger than it is. And it's your brain, the blood flow, the pumping is in your head. And that is such a prevalent theme throughout this. And I think it really helps to hit home that desperation. And again, being followed, stalked by the raven, you know, death.
Forgive me, because again, I don't know this and I don't want to sound like I do, but if I understand it correctly, ravens are sort of important in indigenous culture, sort of the symbol of death. Is that, am I understanding this correctly? Or they represent maybe the darkening of times or something?
I would imagine it would be probably different for different areas of the, you know,
different tribes.
The country, but right. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. I think in this story, you know, definitely that's part of what the Raven character is there for.
Yeah.
Another thing to touch on in this song is this is really about the, you know, the stripping of culture and the scenes with the Halloween. Mm-hmm. Like I just imagine, you know, these kids who are being told that they're, you know, uncivilized, you know, this is, you know, their words. And then they're teaching them about this, you know, crazy holiday about ghosts and ghouls. And it just, imagine how nuts that must have seemed to them. And so, you know, being forced to, you know, many schools, even to this day, you know, we do things around Christmas and Thanksgiving and all these, you know, Easter, all these, Christian holidays. And, you know, thankfully now things are more inclusive when we try to recognize many holidays, you know, in these parts.
I can't necessarily say the same around here.
Yes. Anyways, I kind of lost my train of thought, but
I know that, what you're getting at though.
Yeah. I like the masks that they show in the video, that, you know, the paper mask, the paper bag mask, and the eyes are cut out. And then later on, of course, you've got the raven holding the eyes. And the other thing I think about this song is that this is revenge. This is him wanting revenge. And I think it's short. I don't think it's the feeling that goes through the whole song, because at the very end, there's that twist where it's, I want to go back, not to haunt them.
Yes.
So the whole song, it's like, I want to go back and haunt them. You know, I want revenge, you know, and you have to imagine these are some of the emotions you might go through in this experience, like anger and wanting to get back at them. And then at the end, no, I just want to go back. And, you know, not that he wants to go back to school and be treated the way he was, but at some point he must have had that feeling like this was a mistake. I want to go back, not taunt them. Just, I want to go back.
You know, one thing that hit me with the graphic novel and the movie cartoon, when they take the picture, and I'm sure you guys have heard the tale of being fearful of a camera, right? The camera takes your soul. And that was one thing that hit me when I saw it, even though I know it's in more in modern times and there would be exposure to it, but further indignities and reasoning for haunting, right? That they're making us put these masks on, but then they're still taking that picture and taking the soul was a deep meaning.
And probably sending that picture to a newspaper saying, look how much fun these kids are having.
Yes. Yeah. And then being exploited at the same time, further. Moving into the only place to be, you obviously, you can be hit by the emotion. As I read through the lyrics and as I looked at the images, And I think this is a song of acceptance, regardless of trade or true or not true. We do know that he was taken from his family, and we do know that it was hundreds of miles away, and we do know that eventually he perished and obviously went through horrendous things and is now made that decision and moved and to try and get back home and has gone through what we've discussed. And this is the only place to be, right? Because I think, as we discussed in Secret Path, I think there's that in the song Secret Path, that turn. And, you know, I don't believe that he has necessarily hoped to physically be back with his family, but I think he's now realizing that he's going to be with his family as he moves on. And he's away from that which caused this horrific change in his life, from a, you know, 12-year-old boy or however old when he was first taken, and from a loving family and sisters and to the horrors that were experienced. And now obviously physical survival is not likely, and this is the only place to be. And I was thankful, like Justin mentioned, after Don't Let This Touch You and Haunt Them, and like really wondering, wow, how can we finish this? I did feel a sense of, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of a pillow to fall down on before we finish this out, which, you know, when we talk about the last song, you know, I've spoken with you guys earlier before we started recording about how impactful that song is. But the only place to be was, I think, the right transition into where we've come from, into where we're going.
Yeah. And the word acceptance, it's exactly what I think for the song. It's that acceptance of death. And even in the visuals, you have a life, you know, almost like his life flashing before him. It's all, you know, and as an effective sort of conclusion to the story too, you've got all these scenes that we've seen in the book just flashing by. And a lot of the lyrics are almost like him being at one with nature, which we know, of course, is a huge part of indigenous culture, is just that being at one with the earth and respect for the environment, respect for, you know, animals and everything being equal. And I think that's what this song is doing.
Yeah. What do you think, Justin?
Well, and I found a lot of peace in this song and comfort for my own selfish self. But I think that maybe that's what Gord is trying to convey here too. And I am for the wolf, and the raven will be first to get my eyes, and I'm going to feed these animals and take my body. That's fine. And I'll be somewhere else. And I think acceptance is the right word. This song is definitely a cooling of temperatures though. Like, it's okay, you can breathe, and we know where this is headed, and the worst part of it is over. Like, he's ready to go. Here's the door.
Your sign here.
Here, here, and here. How would you best describe this one, Craig?
Pure emotion. Like this song, like with so few words.
There are 9 words in this song.
Yeah. Gore just takes you, just like eases out of it. And it's just heartbreaking and beautiful. And the, I should mention the piano too. So this is one of the tracks that Kevin Drew helped to write. His piano work is just, it's just a perfect closer, like that's a little surprising epilogue. And lyrically, this one's tough. This one's tough to, again, in so few words, it's like, what gets me is that I think it's the last line when he says, you sign, it's like, the death certificate or, it's just Kirky, I know you said this one really affected you. What are your thoughts?
word jumble. it's everything. It's as a lover of music, as a creator of music, as a recreator of music in all forms, it's hard to write. It's hard to write poetry. It's hard to write a novel. It's hard to write a sentence, and you want to write everything. You feel like you need to have this descriptive word for every single thought and emotion, right? Just think about, like, if you're in social media, like you're posting a picture or a story, and you want the world to know why you're doing it, right? So you write this 3 paragraph of, well, just show the effing picture and just let it be. And to me, it was like Gord cracked the age old, this is all you need. This is it. We don't need to say anything other than these 9 words.
Yeah.
Yeah. And earlier in the album, words are birds, it's speaking to that power of words. And also there's another line in the book in, I forget which song it is, but, when there isn't a next sentence, track 4, like it's almost like sometimes there aren't words, uh-huh, right? Like the emotion is just there.
Yeah. This one is, you knew it was coming from the first note of the first song, right? You know the story before you press play, and you finally get there, and it hurts worse than you would imagine it would. Yep, this is 140 characters. He got it all in one tweet, and it destroys you. It absolutely, because you don't need any more.
Yeah, no, I really like that you can fit that in one tweet. It's concise. It's a call to action, and it wraps up a really fucking powerful and phenomenal record. Craig early on said this might be his favorite work by Gord Downie, and that includes all the Tragically Hip material. So fellas, it's going to be tough to do this next part, but it is tradition in these parts. So what do you think about naming your MVP tracks?
I think to grab on to this topic quickly. You know, I think it's difficult to not choose Here, Here, and Here as an MVP, but I can almost say a co-MVP for me is Sun. Those two obviously embody so much and have impacted us. And so I'll have to stick with Here, Here, and Here, but Sun is definitely right there.
Greg?
For me, it's a tough one. I love this album. Don't Let This Touch You. I know the subject matter is something I wish it didn't have to be written, but at the same time, you know, he does it in such an elegant way. For touching on a topic like this, he just, it makes you feel so much. And I think the main reason I'm picking it is actually not to do with the lyrics. It's that transition I mentioned. You have the theremin and then everything changes and it just settles and relaxes. And the bass line is just, I think that's my musical highlight of the album, that it's little descending killer bass line, the drums. And I love how the drums drop out for a moment and they come back in and it's beautiful. That whole section is just, it makes it for me. Justin, what was your favorite?
Yeah, it's also Don't Let This Touch You. And on my first run through, it was the song that got my attention just musically, like only as a rock and roll fan. This is a great song. It's just, you know, musically really, really cool. And then my experience with the video, which totally crushed me and changed everything that I thought I knew about this album and about the story. And that's the moment for me that I was like, okay, I need to read more. I need to really understand this. And but at the same time, that told the whole story too. I didn't need to understand it more, but it was the push that I was like, okay, this is worse than what we thought. And it was already bad, but yeah, that's the one.
Yep. This has been,
I'm breaking up.
I think we've all had our moments today. Yeah. And I think that's a good thing on several levels, right? Because it is of a topic in nature that should be heartbreaking to anybody and everybody that comes across it. But, you know, let's hope that it does bring to a sense of hope, because we do need to face our fear and the darkness. And that's the best way to combat it and hopefully to make change. So I know for me, even with the heaviness of the subject, again, it's, you know, Gord has raised the bar again.
And in so many ways and on so many levels. Because, you know, Gord's message was, we're not a Canada until we get this figured out, and it's going to take 100 years. Well,
yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah. Then, you know, no amount of time will fill the void that has been created at the tremendous loss of life and culture at the hands of people who should have frankly known better. Anything else you guys want to say before we pack up this gear?
I just will continue to say how thankful I am to be on this journey with you. And I'm glad we were able to share this today. And we hope that it's, you know, insightful for others and that it'll inspire you as well to do, you know, do your own research and do your own.
Amen to that.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's right. Absolutely. Well, that's what we've got for you this week with Gord's fifth record, The Spellbinding Secret Path. Highly recommend getting this record, experiencing the whole multimedia venture. You heard the guys say how it changed their look on several songs on the record, so it's well worth it. We also want to do a viewing party of the live CBC concert, so stay tuned for that. And that's about it. So on behalf of Craig, Justin, and Kirk, this is JD saying, pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to Discovering Downey.
To find out more about the show and its host, visit discoveringdowney.com. You can email us at discoveringdowney@gmail.com. And hey, we're social. Check us out at Gord Downey Pod.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.